I'll stand for a word of prayer. Yes, Father, we praise and glorify your name. The eternal Father, Creator, the Holy One of Israel. We thank you for this beautiful opportunity of being together, that we can worship you, a group of men. We love you, Lord. You know we want to serve you. We want to do your will. We pray the anointing of your Spirit on each one of us right now. Your name would be glorified and your men would be encouraged. You know each heart that's here today. You know the needs. You know the ones that are struggling. We pray that your Spirit would minister and give grace and direction and encouragement. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to start with a little testimony, or maybe we should call it a confession. I'd like to tell you what happened last night as Brother Mel was preaching. I came forward, you saw that, and afterwards a brother, not sure where he is, asked me, could you tell me what happened? Why did you go forward? And I was glad to tell him, and I thought I'd like to tell you men too. When Brother Mel said he was going to be preaching on a broken heart, I said, good. That's going to be a good preparation for the message today. And I think I understand in part the importance of a broken heart. I like to teach it. And just a few weeks ago in our Bible Institute, our Bible school at home, they had asked me to teach a group of young men on what it means to be men. And I was trying to tell them how to love a woman. I'm not sure that I know, but I was trying to help them. And one thing I told them was, this is for you to understand what the Lord did last night in my heart. I told them to love a woman is a condition of a soft heart, a heart. We're men. We're tough, right? We like to be tough. We're big. Not always as big as Brother Mel, but we're big. We have strong voices. We like to lead. We like to be tough. We need that. That's a part of the Godhead in us, that strong men. But there's another part to us that needs to be gentle. And I told them that one of the things that I would encourage them to work on before they get married is to learn how to submit cheerfully, joyfully. Just learn to do it. I said, take every opportunity you can to learn to submit. Now, you might not understand this, but when you get married, you'll discover that really helps in loving a woman. I think I understood that a little bit when Brother Mel was preaching last night. The Lord is good. He didn't mention, I don't remember, Brother, that you mentioned at all about a broken heart in relation to wives. Maybe you did, I don't know. But as you were speaking, the Lord was speaking to me. And he reminded me of an area in my life when my wife and I love each other. We have a good relationship. But there's a certain area in my life, and I don't need to tell you about that, but there's a certain thing when she tries to tell me about it, I sort of like close up my heart a little bit and just sort of turn sort of quiet, you know. Don't say much. Last night, all at once, I saw Mark. That's a hard heart. I told the men in the class a few weeks ago, and this I'm confessing on my own. I told the men that we should have as submissive a heart as the ladies do. We should listen. We should have an open heart. But then go ahead and lead. Yeah. And all at once last night, thank you, Brother Mel. Thank you to the Lord, most of all. I saw myself. And I said, I need to go home and confess this to my wife. There's a certain area. She'll know right away. Because as you were preaching, I was thinking, you know, when I do that, I'm sure it hurts her. She sensed it. It's not love. To sort of close my heart and sort of. That's not love. And I started seeing that. I thank the Lord for that. That he spoke to me. And then when Brother Mel, when she started with the invitation, said, any of you running from God? Something about running from God. And I thought, well, I don't need to go forward. I'm not running from God. I'm not running. It's just the first time the Lord, I see this, you know, thing. As the song progressed, I was thinking, well. Then I thought, well, if the Lord is speaking to me. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go up, I'll go. And yet there was that struggle, you know. Well, the preacher shouldn't go up front, you know. maybe we should. Maybe we should be the first one. Thank you, Brother Mel, for coming up and put your arm around me, praying with me. Then I said, and I thought, you know, if I don't go forward, then I'm running. So I came forward. Thank you, brother, and thank you. Thank you, all of us, for singing then, praying with me. And I found a release last night. Is it okay if I confess that? That's me. I think that's where all of us are. We men, we're leaders. We're supposed to lead. We're supposed to go forward. We need to be tough. Sometimes we need to face some difficult things in life. We like difficult things, don't we? But we need to learn the character of God that's gentle, meek and quiet and gentle. And I confess that before I go on, that I need that. I'd like to speak now this afternoon about the subject is so wide. There's so many aspects. There's so many things. And yet I did feel like I'd like to talk about the thing. And it goes right along with what Brother Mel was teaching. It's amazing what Brother Leonard was saying, and Brother Dale, some of the things he was saying too. I'd like to talk about discipline, the need of discipline in the family, and need to understand why. You know, that it says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. That verse, I've used it so often as an outline for child training. Provoke not your children to wrath, and then bring them up. Not just let them grow, bring them up in then discipline and admonition. I'm not going to be able to speak about all those, but I would like to talk about the need of discipline. What is discipline? Why? Maybe it would help first. What is a child? Different, especially some of the young fathers have come up and said something to me about children. And aren't children beautiful? Wait till you have grandchildren, right? How many grandfathers are here tonight? Or this afternoon? Wow, that's a wonderful stage. I have two grandchildren. I love it. I love my children too, but what is a child?
Immaturity.
Pardon?
Immaturity.
Yes. You know, one thing. Pardon?
An adult
can
be a child.
Yeah. One thing I noticed. You know, children are so beautiful, and they have this part that likes to sing songs. Have you tried? Hey, try this. If you don't, I love nature. Try telling your children about butterflies, frogs and bats and birds and all the wonders. They just love it. You tell them about God. They respond to God. They like to. You teach them little verses. I remember one of the first verses my oldest daughter says, and thou shalt call his name Dida, for he can save his people from them sins, she'd say. She wouldn't even pronounce it right. And they like to learn. I remember that my youngest daughter, and she could say the Psalm 23 all the way through. She couldn't pronounce the words right. But there's something about children that love things about God. When they're small, stimulate it, encourage it. But then, why can children be so ugly? The same child. You ever notice that? They can be so cruel. They can bite. Wow, can they bite? They can get mad. They can kick. You ever had a child? Mine all tried it. When they didn't get their way, they'd throw themselves down on the floor and kick and scream and yell. Mine all tried that. They didn't try it very often. I had something to do about that. But why are children so beautiful and yet this other side? You know, we have the answers right here. Now, you look at humanism, how do you develop children? How do you train children? It all depends on how you understand what a child is. It's very clear here. They were created by God in the image of God. They have the beauty of God. They love the things of God. And yet they have a fallen nature. And isn't that fallen nature so evident at times? You know, how can this child that's so beautiful be so ornery, so stubborn? At least mine were. You know, and it's there. They were created in the image of God, and yet they have a fallen nature. So discipline is dealing with the fallen nature. Now, when you come to the Lord, when you come to the church, we need to understand, oh, it's gone now, the cross here. Without the cross, no one experienced the freedom and the joy of serving the Lord, the cross. And I, of course, most of our congregation at home, all of them except my own family, were not, I don't have Anabaptists, but well, my co-pastor's wife was also of Anabaptist background. The rest are all first-generation Costa Ricans in the church. And so they don't have the upbringing that I want to talk to you about now. But every single one of them, if they want to find the joy and victory in Jesus, must learn to die to the carnal nature. The carnal nature needs to go, or they will not experience the freedom and the joy of the Lord. And they need to learn that, and some of it's sort of hard. We spend quite a bit of time counseling and helping people, working through some of that. But I'd like to tell you that as fathers, especially you have young children, you can do make it so much easier for your children. As ministers, we notice that. Some people come in the church, and they just... Others come in, they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle. And there's different aspects of this, but a lot of it is related to this thing, how easy it is to learn how to die to yourself. Like what the brother talked about this morning. That's such a beautiful message, you know. But you can help your children so much if your child has learned from young on to give in. You do a great favor to your own child. You'll do a favor, if he's a little boy, to his wife. You'll do a favor to his grandchildren even. It's such a blessing. So discipline is dealing and helping a child. And this is different for adults. And if we have someone that's 18 years old, we don't try it. The Bible doesn't teach it. It doesn't work. You can't spank an 18-year-old and make him obey. But for some reason, God has planned it this way, and it works for a child. And I want to talk about just some of that. There's a lot of misuse in that, too. But there is a way of disciplining a child from little on, and they learn to submit. I remember the one time, bless me so much. If you're a father, you don't understand this. My daughter wanted to do something. She wanted to do something real badly. Really, she really wanted it. Dad, may I? And I forget the details. I just remember the... And I said, Elisa, this time not. No. And she wanted to go with me. But what I blessed me is when I left, I said, bye, Lisa, and I hugged her. And she hugged me tight. I don't know if you hug your daughters or not, but she was like 11, 12 maybe. And she just gave me a tight hug. That meant an awful lot to me. Because I knew that I'd asked her to do something that was a little hard. And yet she hugged Daddy. You understand what I'm saying? We need to teach our children to learn to submit and accept it and be cheerful. Make a world of a difference. Your youth group, you know, your schools. I taught school for 6 years. It was very easy to see the difference of the children who learned to obey at home and the ones who didn't. You'd notice it on the playground. You'd notice it all around. And then in the youth group, you have youth leader. I don't know how you do this. Maybe you have some activity, plan something. You know, there's often people around that always disagree with the leader. They always have a different way of doing it. They always have another, and they always have a little criticism how it's done. You know what that is? It's the lack of the cross. When we have our Bible Institute, I like to sing for the youth. I like to sing with the chorus. The teachers don't all. I like to sing, so I sing with them every year if I'm there, if I can. This year, my nephew was directing the chorus, and he doesn't do everything the way I would. Sometimes I disagree with him on how to sing a certain song and how to interpret this and that. But I just enjoy letting my nephew tell me what to do. That's one of the joys of singing with a chorus, like just submit, do what he tells me to do. We need to help our children with that. And the other thing that's very important about this is, if I have not accomplished this with my child will struggle with me and fight with me and fight with me and fight with me. Some children are very outward with it. It's a constant battle. Others are not as much, but every once in a while there's this struggle between dad and the daughter or the son. You know what? That's why the Bible says, don't provoke your children to wrath, because it's hard to lead a child that way. You might be actually driving him away from you. But if we can learn, a child can learn to submit. You can have a relationship with a child like that. You can work with it. But if there's a constant struggle, notice that. And if you're a young father and you have a child, you're a young or a child that's that way, we'll be talking more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow I'd like to talk about winning the hearts of the children. But notice that and do something about it. Because you can't lead someone that's conflicting with you. So I'd like to talk about this a little bit. Why discipline? Discipline is helping, and this is a beautiful thing we can do. Listen, some of you fathers that told me you have little children. This is actually exciting. I mean, this is, I was going to say fun, but it sounds almost too light. But to train a small child is exciting. And it's not that hard if you're consistent. I like animals. I like to train a dog. I like to train a horse. I'm not that good at it, but I like to take, you can train a small child. It's not that hard. On certain things, at least. Now, the subject tomorrow about winning their hearts gets a little more complicated. But this thing of, and I would like to encourage the fathers to be involved. Fathers be involved in this. I had the advantage. I work for a publishing house, and so I work on the computer and I work at home. In the beginning, I worked on paper and pencil, but now I have computers, So I work at home. So I was right in the house, and so I did a lot of discipline myself. And I know most of you men don't have that opportunity, and that's okay. I mean, mine was actually not normal, maybe. But I would please beg, fathers should be involved, and we'll talk more about this. Fathers should be involved in this thing of discipline and training your children. Their pride and their ego needs to be dealt with. I taught school, and one time one of the neighbor ladies came, and she said, would you take my little boy to teach him in school? I love my little boy. I love him so much, I can't discipline him. And I know that you discipline your children in school. You keep order. Would you take my little boy and you discipline him? Did she really love him? No. She didn't understand it, more anything, but that's not love. We need to train up a child in the way that he should go. To train up a child, that word train, I don't know much about Hebrew. But if I understand right, the word train up a child is actually means to narrow their way. Narrow their way. There's all kinds of options on how to live. Brush your teeth or don't brush your teeth. Bathe or not bathe. Eat just sugar and don't eat your vegetables. And so you take a child and you say, you training him is telling him, this is the way to live. This is the way we live. This is the way we eat your vegetables first and your meat and then and a little bit of dessert. And this is the way you take care of your shoes. We're training them how to live. We're narrowing down their way. They can go all kinds of ways, They can come in the house and throw one shoe over there, the other one over there, the coat over there and the pants over there, and they can just throw everything all over. But you teach them, no, this is the way we do things. Right? Train the child. Narrow their way. Teach them how to live. And listen, that's exciting. Young men, and you young men that are not married yet, if the Lord calls you to singlehood, that's a noble calling. Jesus, Paul, and a lot of examples of that in the Bible. But if God calls you to marriage, this is an exciting thing. Is to take a young child and train them. They need to learn to not live for themselves. There's a time we get up in the morning. The modern life is let them sleep so long as they when they're small maybe, but there's a thing of schedule. There's things that need to be done. There's a lot of things I've told my children often. I do a lot of things that I'd rather not do. I like to show them that. Sometimes I don't know what good example is clean out the septic system. I said, it needs to be done. Let's go do it, and let's do it cheerfully. Let's just go do it. There's so many things. We have to learn to do things we don't want to do. And we don't just do what I like to do. You ever think of that? You help a child when he's 2 and 3 to learn that, and it might make a big difference when he meets a young girl when he's 15 or 16. Let's offer him to do what the flesh wants. Teach them. We have a problem. It's all over, and Satan is really working in this. We have way too many adult men that are very, very selfish. Live for self. They manipulate their wives or manipulate everyone around them to get their own way. Those people are hard to get along with. Not very productive. Maybe in some material things it can be. But in the church, they're a problem. In Mexico, they have this saying, it's like a goat in a glass shop. Imagine that? A goat. No, there's one. It's in English. A bull in a... Is that Spanish? A bull in a china shop. Thank you. A bull in a china shop. That's the way a man who's self-centered and selfish in the Church of Jesus Christ. Our brother talked about that this morning, right? So we have the opportunity of helping them and to learn them to submit and not just, we'll talk about this tomorrow, not just get them to obey, but to get to the point where they do it cheerfully. Remember the attitudes. Not just that they do it, but they do it cheerfully. And you know what? The joy of doing it cheerfully. They experience the joy of submitting cheerfully. Give them that opportunity. Now, let's look at some verses in the Bible here quickly. I want to show you what the Bible says. And I would like to encourage us in this. And I wasn't quite sure how to steer all this message, because I could just steer the whole message on this very problem for us as fathers and our problem still with this, with our pride house. But when I especially when some of the young fathers tell me about their children and how they're excited about that, I want to look at some of this. Proverbs 3 in my Spanish Bible. This Bible I use in English is not the one I'm used to and not the one I usually use. But I have like a chain reference. The first one is Proverbs 3:12. And right at the bottom of that, I have the next verse. And then the next one, I go to that one, I have the next verse written in there. Because I like these verses so much, and I need to use it for parents and home on what the Bible says about disciplining children. So, Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I just want to notice that thing. Discipline is love. I delight in my child, and I love him. We had one of my sons, you wouldn't believe it now, but he's 24 now, and he's not that way anymore. I think I have more problem with anger than he does. When he was small, he would get so angry. He had a Yoder blood in him or something. And he would get so angry, he'd get violent, he'd start. And it'd scare me. And I remember taking him to the bedroom and said, Caleb, if you keep on like this when you get big, you might kill somebody. And I was serious. But Caleb, I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to spank you. The Bible tells me I'm to spank you. And I don't like to spank you, but I'm going to spank you till you learn that you have to control this anger. And it worked. Sometimes I think he has more patience than I do now. It worked. It does work. Because it's love. It's love. I'm thinking about him going to school. I'm thinking about him in the youth group. I'm thinking about him in the church. I'm thinking about him as a husband. And my daughter as a wife. I'm thinking about him as an adult. I'm getting him ready for life. And especially for the kingdom. Yeah. This has to happen if anyone wants to live for the glory of the king. The flesh, Dale said that too, right? The flesh has to die. What is the greatest hindrance to the glory of Jesus in the churches? Yes, our own flesh. So it's an expression of love to discipline them. Okay, now chapter 13, verse 24. I'm going to go sort of fast here. Study these carefully. They have a lot of direction, even how to do this and things. But 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. To spare a rod, to not discipline a child, to let him have his way, to let him throw himself on the floor and scream and yell and kick and just real quick give him what he wants, is really hating him. It's doing him harm. You know, this I remember once, and I've seen this type of thing often, this family was driving with me. Of course, our families at home, they did not have this teaching. They didn't know. But anyway, we stopped. I was driving, and there was a mother and some children. There was one little child with the mother. And, "Mom," we stopped at a store. "Mommy, I want ice cream. Mommy, I want some ice cream." It's a small child. And Mom says, "Not today, no, not today." "Mommy, I want ice cream." "No," I said, "no." "Mommy!" And they start this yelling thing going on here. And so, "Well, go get it." Okay, go get it. What did the child learn? Just scream. There's still people who have, I was going to say white beards, but still scream when they want their way in a different way, you know. So it's hating a child to let him have his own way. It's not helping him. And then it says here, chasing him betimes. He that loves him does it early. That word betimes means early. And I'd like to encourage you men that have young children. I'd especially like to encourage you. I would encourage you the first 4 years. And in my case, especially when I worked at home, my case, I had the year and a half to 2 years were very, very important. I'll be talking some examples about that in just a little bit. Do it young. Do it young. 19:18. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Again, the point simply is here, discipline him when there's hope to do something. Some people say, some fathers make the mistake and say, "My son's reaching his teenage, he needs his father more." I'm sorry, you're too late. You can maybe do something, maybe we can, I'm not sure if I'll have time to talk about that. Maybe some of your older brethren could do it better than I can, help to do something when you're trying to salvage an older one and some of that. But to win your child's heart when he's turning into a teenager, we're late. It needs to be done early. Their hope and of teaching them to obey and to submit needs to be done a lot earlier. And don't let the crying give. Don't just pity him. Poor little child. Dale has a saying. He's right. I often use this, Dale. If you've heard, remember, you say it or not. He says one of the big problems that in Costa Rica, the way they deal their children is, oh, dear. Help me translate it. Del pobrecito, déjalo. Pobrecito, poor child, let him go. Poor little child, let him go. In other words, let him do what he wants. Poor little child, don't be hard on him. That spoiled the child too fast. Proverbs 22:15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him." The Bible says this. Now, humanism won't say this. When I teach this at home, I make sure and tell them. At home, the clinics, the education centers, health centers, they have a totally different philosophy on this. And I saw it right before my eyes there in the town. The people that work in the health system, the people that work in the education system, they have the humanist thing. They've been trained better with humanism than the others, and they raise their little children, let them do what they want. And one of the health, the little boy, 7, 8 years old, is running around town, 9, 10 o'clock at night, running around, because you have to let the child be free and express himself and do his own thing. And now some of them are in prison and all this. But the child brings, the truth is this, every child has, your little child, as beautiful as, and the one you're going to have if you're single, those beautiful little children have foolishness in their heart. I think all my children tried lying. But I dealt with lying. Now, I made a difference if it was just, making up stories and playing, and that's one thing, but if they clearly lied to me and tried to get out of something by lying, I tell them that I didn't tell them that you're going to hell because you lied, because I don't think that's true for a child. But I did tell them that if you keep on lying like this and you get to be a liar when you're made, the Bible says this about lying. So I was pretty strong with lying. I explained it to them. There's all kinds of. Every child is lazy. There's that certain stage when the little girl just loves to wash dishes. You know that? They get up there, and if you have a little girl like that, she just loves to wash dishes. Isn't that fun? And Peter, little boys, they love to go out. My little grandson gets a shovel, and he goes out, and he can shovel. He thinks, you know, but then just give him a little munch, and then you make it a responsibility to wash dishes every day, and then it's going to find out another thing. Every child is lazy. Now, you can maybe in your home and your atmosphere, but every child tends to lie, tends to be lazy. And so there's foolishness, but the rod of correction takes care of it. Did you know the Bible says that? (clears throat) 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Your King James here is a little stronger on that than the Spanish. And to be interesting, I didn't take the time to. I should have maybe to see what the Hebrew says. This thing of beating with a rod sounds a little rough when you read it. You know, you think of this idea of a shepherd's rod or something. You know, beat the child. No, that's not what it's talking about at all. I would like to encourage you to not need to use. We used to have these little switches we'd get, you know, we had these little switches. And it's not talking about taking a child and beating him. I would not encourage your belt and things like this. They're really harsh. They're really rough. You don't need something like that. But what it's saying here very clearly is that you're not going to hurt a child. That's what humanism says. Humanism says that if you discipline the child, have you heard this? If you discipline a child, you're using violence on him. You're teaching him to be violent. Is that true? No, it's not. How many of you know it's not true from personal experience? I raised both hands. My father spanked me and he didn't teach me to be violent. Of course, I knew Dad always prayed with us. I don't remember if Dad would spank me without praying with me. He spanked us quite a bit. Paulo's the case. And I was his brother. But we had four boys and we got spanked a lot. But for me, it's very easy to understand that spanking was love, because Dad would always love us. He'd tell us why. He'd spank us, and then he'd pray with us every time. So for me, spanking is easy to understand. It's love. I didn't learn how to go out and beat my sisters because he spanked me. No. Didn't work that. If I beat my sisters, he'd spank me again. Then I wouldn't do it anymore. It does not. Actually, you notice what it says here, the last phrase. See that? Deliver his soul from hell. That makes it serious. If you can teach the child that he just can't eat ice cream whenever he wants to, need all the sugar he wants, and just be lazy and do it at his own will, you teach him that there's certain things we don't do, even though I want to, we don't do them. We teach him to submit, we teach him to obey, we teach him to work with others. You're doing an awful lot to help that child stay out of hell. You let him do everything he wants, and you're paving the way for him to go there. The Lord can do wonders in spite of that. But chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. There's two things here. The thing of bringing his mother to shame. Have you seen that? We see it all the time. Children, you go to someone's home, or the children come to your home. I'm not being critical, and if someone is working with a child and training a child, and some children are a lot harder to train than others, you need to spank them oftener, you need to deal with it more. And if you're dealing with a child, that we understand that that's fine. But you see those children that have no discipline. They've not been taught to obey. Everything has to go their way. And they rule the house. And in public, they're ashamed. Really, they're ashamed. It's a shame. They crawl all over. They jump all over. And there's no control. But if you teach a child to obey, it brings rest to you. That's the next verse. But anyway, let's hear it. Then it says, give wisdom. Do you ever stop and think of this? A child who is constantly resisting. He struggles. He's fighting. He's fighting with people. And he's selfish. He's self-centered. He's defensive. I'm not a psychologist, and I don't want to be. But a lot of hyperactive children. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times, children are hyperactive. They're just strung up. And I'm not saying that all children are. If you have a child like this, I want to be understanding. But a child that is not to submit brings rest to a child. And then the one in church, for an example, if you teach him to sit, he'll listen to the preacher. But if you don't teach him to sit, he won't hear a thing. Not only that, you can't teach him family devotions, because he's constantly battling and struggling with you. So you teach a child to submit, and you're laying the basis for him to become wise, to listen, to hear, to listen to others. How much of my wisdom is my own? None. I had a good father, had a good example. I taught school for 6 years, and so I was very interested in teaching and working with children. And that also teaching school gives you good insight on some of this, you know, you see some of this. And then with working with my church people, this subject has been a burden on my heart. I'm, you know, seeking for answers and looking for this. But everything I know, I have received. Everything I know, I've received. We're not that smart. And so, but you teach a child to submit, to listen, to be quiet and listen. And you're giving him an opportunity to become wise. Well, the wise old owl sat in an oak. How is that? I haven't said this for a long time. The less he spoke, the more he saw, the less he spoke. Anyway, you know the story. I can't forget. I thought I used to know that. But you know, you teach a child to stop and listen. There's people, and I hope you're not one here today. There's people sit through these sessions like we had this morning, and they're sitting back there evaluating Dale. They didn't like he said this. They didn't like this. They didn't like the way he ties his shoes. They didn't know how he combed his hair, or didn't comb him. That'd be more like me, not Dale. I might forget to comb my hair. But they're sitting back there, and they don't like the way Leonard did this. They didn't like it. They're always evaluating and criticizing things. I'm sorry. That's a problem. You're not going to have a hard time getting wise. You know what I mean? Now, think about a little child. You teach him to submit. And as a school teacher, if you can't get a child to sit still, you can't teach him. You can try. I did try to help out some finances, and we were newly married. They asked me to teach English in a night high school in Chichagua, in our town. It's the only time I ever worked for the public system. But I did, and I thought we also contact with youth. I love youth, and I did some teaching in night school in the high school. It was so frustrating. They wouldn't listen. There was such disorder. I couldn't even get them together to teach them. I ended up just saying, well, I'm going to teach, and the ones that listen will learn something in the West, and you know, let them go. Because I had no control over them, and they would not listen. You can't teach people like that. 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. A child that sits quiet in church, and we don't have him here today, but I'm sure that in your church, your children sit beside you and sit there quietly. You know, when people, Newfoundlanders, come to the church, I said, children run around the pulpit, you know, while I'm preaching. And they'll be up and around the bench, and they're down, and they're over, because they've not been taught to sit still. That's okay. I like to have people like that come to the church. Yeah, because they're new. And very soon they learn. That doesn't go on very long. They soon catch on. And one of the classes, one of the things I like to teach them is it goes to these verses this winter. And they can, but when it's so beautiful to have a church service, that doesn't happen in the world, you know that? Imagine your children, those ones that have children, they'll sit beside you, sit there quietly. That's beautiful. You know, a lot of churches, that doesn't happen. They have a nursery back there with all kinds of toys and all kinds of things, you know. But brings rest. Now, some examples. I'd like to use some examples. I think this now. I'm thinking about the young men. I wasn't sure how practical I'll get on some of this I'm thinking more about the hearts and some of the things tomorrow. But I'm going to give you some examples that I would encourage you with. Now, when I say this, this is not the only way. But these are some things that I learned from personal experience. I also learned from others. I had some real blessing from Denny Kennison's tapes when I was young. There were some other books that I read that blessed me. my father, our examples. What I'm saying is, what I'm going to say is not just Mark. I mean, this is something I learned from others. Don't think it's me. But there are some very practical things. Someone has asked me, how soon do you start a discipline? Right. As soon as I get mad. Okay, now listen to me a little bit here. What are some ideas? And I would like to encourage you fathers who have little children, little babies. If the child cries, your wife will know, and I would encourage you as fathers to get close enough to children that you know when the child is crying because she's wet and needs to change her diaper. I change diapers. I change a lot of diapers. That was part of it. When the child is hungry, when a child is sick, when it's pain, and when it's anger. There's a difference. The mothers can usually tell that, detect it pretty quickly. But be careful if the child, you know, you probably don't use diaper pins anymore. Do any of you use diaper pins anymore? We did back when we had children, but now everyone uses Pampers. I just sort of have a little prejudice against that, but it's okay. It's okay. But, you know, if you ever had a baby with a diaper pin and the diaper and happened to be open and it was poking the little child and the child starts crying, you should notice that when a child cries from pain and when he cries from anger. There's a difference. You see what I'm saying? But when a child is very small, I remember doing this with my oldest daughter and well, with all of them, they, especially if the aunt and the aunties come around a lot and the uncles and other people and they hold them a lot and they like to be held, and the little child like to be held all day. Now, I would encourage you, take time to cuddle your babies. Do that, please. If you're going to read your newspaper or whatever, lay the newspaper down or something. The computer, kick it out the door or something. But take time with your children. Cuddle them. Be affectionate with them. But the other side, do not let the child say, I want to be held. And so they scream and their veins stick out here. And they scream. And then when they scream, everybody runs to pick them up, especially grandpa and grandma around. You know. But you know, let the child learn that she doesn't need to be held all the time. And one thing I learned, I'll just give this young man as an example. I learned to never pick up, when she's mad like this, never pick him up from that way. Unless I've got to rush off to get to church in time, maybe. But don't pick him up, and I'd get him, get down, and I'd talk to him, say, Anita, come on, Anita, no. And she'd just get mad. I mean, she would scream. And she wanted to be held, and I was right there, and I wouldn't pick her up. I didn't necessarily at that stage. We're talking here now before they walk, before, you know, the small. And then when they would change, after a while they'll change their cry and they get sort of a repentant cry. You have little children, you know that. Then pick them up. Comfort them. But when the volume goes up, that's really the carnal nature coming up, you know. Don't give in to that one. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get a lash them right away, but just simple things like that. They can learn. A child does not need to be held all day. Mommy's got a lot of work to do. A child needs to learn to be able to lay and be happy. If you carry them all the time, they'll never learn it. See, just a simple thing. Now, if you teach your... I see this brother here. He's really green. I think he's got a little child. I can't read his name from here. But if you accomplish that, you've accomplished a good milestone. Another one that we worked with, and I don't know exactly where I learned this, but we studied little switches. Now, I'm not talking about big sticks and anger. When you deal with a child small, you don't do it angry, you do it in love. Gentleness, kind, you know, we had these little sticks, we'd have one at the table. This sounds a little rank, maybe, but we'd have one at the table. We'd have one where we change the diapers. We had one where in the living room. We had one in each of the rooms. And always one was at the, and I changed diapers. And if you don't like to change diapers, it's your problem. But I changed diapers. And there's a certain age, and I can't even remember, at a certain age, a child will start turning over. You ever try to put a diaper on a child that's turning? It gets sort of frustrating. Well, that little switch, and it's not hard. Listen, young man, that you're going to get married or you have young children, it's not that hard. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be. You just tell them. You get them gently with the light and say no. A child doesn't understand what no is, maybe, but you can teach them very fast. It doesn't take long. You just bring them back and say no. And then the next time you just take a little switch and go, Whoa. They scream, they yell, they don't like it. But they soon learn that every time I turn and Daddy says no, no means don't turn over. And very soon you can change your diapers, no problem. If you're consistent, it's sort of fun. You know? May I say that? And if you accomplish that, again, a milestone. A milestone. One at a time. One at a time. Exactly. One at a time. And I'm talking about, and I think these first years, like I said, I had the advantage that I lived at home. I'm sorry that I'm using so much of my own examples. If you forgive me for that, it's just because I experienced it. You know, there was another one is sitting for devotions. You have ever the trouble with that? Your child doesn't want to sit for devotions or wants to sit with mommy, not sit with daddy? We have a little switch there. We not get mad. We do it kindly. But certain, there were, especially my daughter Elisa, there was a few times we hardly had devotions. I mean, we had a yelling match and screaming, and she did not want to sit. And just, and she'd get right up, you know. And she'd get up, and I'd say, Lisa, sit down. And I'd sit her down, and she'd get their little legs real stiff, and just, and get right up again. I didn't need to get mad, but just use the switch. And I'd say, Lisa, no. And for Lisa, there was different things. There was times that I ended up crying by the time I was finished with this. Because I did not like to do that. But I would not be rough. I just used a little switch. You know, I'd encourage a little switch that doesn't leave little red marks for about 10 minutes, right? And it's gone. You know, I just use a switch, Lisa. Now, by the time Lisa would give in, and she changed the way they cry, they have a different cry, if you know that, you know, then they sit down and you hug them and you just love them. That does something to tie you there with your children, too. Tie them in with them. Teach them how to lay down when they want to lay down, they want to get up. And there was another time I cried by the time I was finished with Elisa. And listen, it works. You could ask Dale. Elisa's not that way now. She's 31 years old. And she's not that way now. If I would have let her go, there was a lot of beautiful things. I used to get up early in the morning to pray. And she was an early bird. And I'd get my heart warm when I hear the little bare feet come across the floor. She'd come up, crawl up on my back, or crawl underneath me in the front. My little precious Elisa. But if I would have let her, that carnal nature she had, if I would have let that grow and let that be, where would she be today? Do you teach a child to come? That's something I did intentionally. I would be at the desk and the children would be playing. And I'd say Caleb, or I'd say Elisa, when they were, and they were talking now the come thing is after they can walk. Some of these other things about rolling over is before they even walk. But may I stop here? Do you understand we're talking about love? You don't have to be rough. We're not talking about beating them. We're not talking about anger. It's just teaching them the other thing. Now, some things in your house, some precious things, put them up so a child can't get them. But don't put everything away. Let some things, at the table is another, we used to have one on the table, one of those litches. And they'll grab the glasses, they'll grab the spoons, the easiest thing is just move everything away. So he just pounds around the table, and all he can grab is what you give him. Well, that has its place, maybe. But you can teach a child that certain things you don't grab them. With a little switch, every time they reach for the plate, every time they reach for the glass, you say no. They learn fast what no means. You don't have to be rough, you don't have to be mean. But if you teach a child to say come, and my goal was that they'd get up the first time and come running. They didn't do that the first time. You know what I mean? So I'd have to use the switch. I'd do it kindly. But my goal was that I could say, Elisa, come. She'd leave her toys, she'd get up and run. Come. Caleb, come. If you accomplish that, you've accomplished a lot. And in my experience, and maybe it's going to be different, dealing with them small like that took away a lot of the conflicts that come later. To teach them small to do that. I ask Elisa now, I've often used her example, she doesn't mind. She just laughs. I say, Elisa, do you remember those serious conflicts? No, Daddy, I don't remember. Because she was so young. But they were serious battles of will. And today she's so thankful that we taught her to submit. And you can do that too. And it's going to be hard to win a child's heart if you don't need that. Because you need to have a child to sit to listen. Now that's not only literal. You have to have him sit in devotions. Oh, I remember the excitement when our devotions changed. When I started gearing my devotions for the children. For my little 1-year-old or 1.5-year-old, you among have young girls, you change. The first, our devotions were just my wife and I. Those were nice too. Spiritual, more mature level. But when the children started, I remember thinking, hey, I've got to change this now. So now I start gearing my devotions for my little child. That was exciting. I almost want to go back and start over again. But you can't teach your child if he doesn't sit and listen. Yeah. If you let him run around the living room, and mom and dad are sitting here having a real good devotion, but the children run around circles and crawling under the couch and going around, you know. You can't guide his heart. And especially there's, some children are very rank and strong in this resistance. And it's very obvious to see. Some are not as much that way, but there's sort of a subtle underlying rebellion. There's that subtle thing. And you, I'd like to talk, tomorrow we'll talk more about this. I'd like to encourage you to notice that. Watch their attitudes. A good goat farmer, I have goats. A good goat farmer, I like animals. They say the same thing about chickens, about hens. I don't know much about hens. But they say a good chicken, now Dale knows about chickens, I think, and he knows a lot of things that I don't. But if you know, you have to go out and look at the flock. And the man looks over the flock. And he can soon detect. I can't. But they tell me they can soon detect. This chicken's sick. This chicken's got a problem. She's going, or something. They've told me about it. You know, and say, this chicken, we need to put something in the water. Sick. I notice it on goats. I can soon notice when a goat starts to get a little rough. Doesn't eat right. It's a little different. You know. A good man that takes care of animals is watching them constantly and will detect things quick. You know what I'm talking about? Your children. Watch them. Take time. Please take time. Maybe you don't need to hunt as much or fish or whatever. I'm not against hunting. If I'd be up here, I might go hunt to put some meat in the freezer. I might do that. I don't at home. But maybe we should spend less time on some of those things that don't really help us much. Take us away from our families. Take time with your children. And then please, fathers, get involved with discipline your children loving. For I think some of my close relationship with my children were in the bedroom. When I'd tell Caleb about his anger, or I'd tell Ellis about his lying, and I'd spank him. And then we'd sit there and I'd put my arms around him and pray with him. I would tell them like this, just some ideas. You don't have to do it this way, but I'd say, are you ready to go out now? I'd dry their tears, you know. Sort of embarrassing to go out to the family again after you've been spanked. So I'd dry their tears. You ready to go out now? And sit with them a little while. Those moments become sacred. Take time. Don't just discipline the anger. Especially, don't just discipline and say, let's say you learn not to do it again. And stomp out on them. Take time. One of the most precious things you have are those little children. And fathers, please be involved. A child that learns discipline learns to sit still, learns to be taught. He can be taught wisdom. I'd like you to think more about that one. Watch the young people, the difference. Watch. Yeah, watch. I do. But don't be critical. Love them all. See how we can help them. But notice the ones that have learned to sit and listen and receive advice from someone else. And the ones that whenever anyone, you know, I've worked with people, and one lady said, every time someone tries to tell me what to do, inside me, I just rise up in anger. And it's the same anger that I had with Dad all my life. I rise up in anger. Everyone someone tries to do, she was married now, and she was having marriage problems, serious marriage problems. Just wish so much. And now as an adult, you have to need some help and to work through that and to forgive and to learn to submit and to give in. But you can make it so much easier if your little child learns it. She gets married. I've seen it. You've seen it. I mean, good wives. They fit right in. It's beautiful. They learn to be responsible. Take care of their shoes, where they put the shoes. I don't know, you let them just throw the shoes anywhere in the living room? Just if you do, that's okay, if that's where you like it. We always had a little place where you put the things, you know, and we teach them to be orderly. That's teaching them to be responsible. You wouldn't believe it how much that influences later in marriage, in their business, or wherever they go. Teach them to do things, to put things right, not just throw things all over. Now, some families have put more emphasis on order. There can be a variety on that. If dad kicks his boots around on the porch, you're all over, whatever. That's not going to make or break it. But what I'm saying is you teach a child to be responsible. Please, that, yes. Teach him to be responsible for his own things. Exactly how you do it. Teach him not to be self-centered. And please, that is important. When they're adolescents and their glands change and the sex impulses come and they come strong. You wouldn't believe how much it helps if that boy has learned small. I don't do everything that I must do. I get up even though I'm sleepy. Tired, I'd rather sleep. I stop eating something or I don't do certain things. That helps. It doesn't solve all of it, of course, but it helps. Deny his own carnal nature, to submit to authority, to work with others. Oh, you do a favor. And you're blessing your grandchildren when you're working. You young men right here, some of you men here nodding, I can tell there's a few brothers here that have little children. You're doing a favor to your grandchildren if Jesus doesn't come before them. To be a good, and then the other thing, to be a good leader, to be a good father, to be a good pastor. Yes, Brother Leonard, yes, yes, yes. Members' meetings. Brother Leonard, where are you? There you are. You're a pastor, right? Did I gather that? You're a minister? We can tell it to all of them, can't we? The ministers sometimes struggle with this. I have a good relationship with my son. One time my son called me out. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. He got married now, and he's a submissive son. He listens to me. But he said, Dad, I think you were a little harsh in the members' meeting, the way you responded. And he knows me. You're a little harsh in the members' meeting, the way you came across. Thank you, Brother Leonard. What you were saying, you're right on. Yeah. It's the same problem. And this thing of training your children, remember something, and it's, I don't know if I'll get into that. I don't know if I have a lot of wisdom. Probably a lot of you here could do better, like Brother Mel has more than I do. But there is one thing. You teach the child to obey, and you will make adolescence so much easier. And tomorrow I want to talk about as far as keeping their hearts and loving them in a relationship. It is difficult. I was going to say impossible. To have a good relationship with a child that's constantly batting your authority and struggling with your authority. Adolescence becomes terrible stormy. But if you can teach them to submit before, it makes it a lot easier. But they will then confront their carnal nature because the training doesn't take it all out. And as they grow up and as through adolescence, the carnal nature will come out again. And then the solution is Jesus. Just my children, I had the opportunity, I think, of all of them to lead them to the Lord. One of my boys, one night after devotions, we had some devotions out of Revelations, and he came to the bedroom. Dad, I'd like to give my life to the Lord. But they even as you're training, you still their carnal nature rises up, and then they start struggling, and they have problems with their passions, and they still have them. You can't train that out of them. That still comes up, but it's a lot easier. A lot easier. And then the solution is, son, what you need is to repent and to receive Jesus. If we can lead them on to that, that's a wonderful victory. But you teach them, you prepare them to be a good husband. And like I said, I hope you understood my confession. I tried to teach that to the young men in our Bible school. If you have a heart that tends to resist authority, resist when someone tries to tell you something, we all have some of that. We don't. You resist authority, that heart is going to give you problems with to love a wife. The ones of us married know that well, don't we? That's the same heart that when my wife, well, just what I was telling about, what the Lord told me last night. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Brother Mel. That we all still have it. In spite of our training, there's that nature, but we need to get rid of that, to harden hearts, and to be able to guide our children's hearts. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You need to work at this when they're small and build a relationship with them instead of a relationship of conflict. And some of you have a conflicting relationship with your son, your daughter. Please, please do something. I might not be able to give you the answer, but do something. If your relationship is a constant conflict, do something. Start praying. Ask advice from someone. Talk to your wife. How can we resolve this? Because you cannot lead a child that's bumping with you all the time. You know, if he did once or so, and then you work it out, and then he's okay, well, good. But if there's a constant conflict, and your relationship is provoking wrath in him, when he wants to... If he wants to join the church, he'll not want to be in the one year the father's in. You know? And he might not even want to be at church at all. So those things are important. We'll be talking, pray about tomorrow. Tomorrow I want to talk about the thing of the heart. And again, as I give these examples, these are not the only way of doing it. I just give you some of these examples. There's other ways of doing it. Maybe your father did probably did a better job than that. But you understood the principle. Little. Teach them to give in and surrender.